Beginning in the 12th century, the pipe organ was the most complex man-made device until its mechanism was surpassed by the telephone exchange 700 years later in the 19th century. I learned that from a new documentary called To Hear the Music, which will premiere next week at the Woods Hole Film Festival. The film tells the story of a Gloucester, Massachusetts company that builds pipe organs, C.B. Fisk Incorporated. Back in the late 60s, it built and installed the first mechanical organ in the U.S. in Harvard University's Memorial Church, and then a brand new one called Opus 139 just 2 years ago. It's a story about devotion to music, craft, and the brilliance of its late founder, C.B. Fisk. Dennis Lanson is the director and producer of To Hear the Music. He told us that Fisk was a Harvard-educated nuclear physicist who worked on the Manhattan Project, helping to develop the first atomic bomb.
He was troubled by the results of his work as a nuclear physicist. He always loved music, and when he went to Stanford to get a PhD in nuclear physics, he switched to music. Found that he was not maybe the world-class organist he would have hoped to be, but that he was very interested in building these instruments.
Right. So he could marry, it sounds like it was a nice marriage of his sort of scientific background and his passion for music.
Precisely, yeah.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Very much so.
So how did you first find out about the company, C.B. Fisk? What drew you to this subject?
Okay, well, I knew nothing about pipe organs, not much about the repertoire. My neighbor across the street, David Pike, is the tonal director for that company, and he invited me over to an open house, and the open houses they have are great affairs. People can come up and play the instrument, which is assembled in its entirety. These things are, they're huge, these instruments. These are multi-million dollar instruments, and I was just blown away by the sound and the grandeur of it.
Well, it's a wonderful film. I want to play a clip from the very beginning of the film, which sets up the way the employees of C.B. Fisk really approach their craft. So this is the voice of Gregory Bover. He's the project manager for Opus 139, which is the new organ that the company was building for Harvard Memorial Church.
I'd call myself spiritual rather than religious, and this work is like worship for me. I rarely go to church, except when I'm working in one. But I know that there's more to this than just putting parts together. And the musical expression in the end, and the way that affects people's lives and their worship, is also a really special thing to be involved in.
Boy, you really get a sense there of the commitment to this craft that these people have.
Absolutely. It's a very deep thing, and Greg is very articulate, but I think in general you have a level of intelligence and education among the people there that you wouldn't expect in a craftsman's enterprise.
Yeah. The film really makes clear that there's a real diversity of background of the people who work at C.B. Fisk,
mm-hmm.
right?
I mean, you have somebody like Greg who basically loves carpentry and working with wood, but is now working with computer programs running the project. You have others who come from art school, industrial design, mm-hmm. Who studied chemistry, who liked to... Fisk always looked for people who loved to mess around, for instance, with cars. There's a guy there who works with the casting who, when he was a youth out in Iowa, I think, loved to take car engines apart and put them back together. That, to Fisk, was the key to somebody who would be the right kind of worker for that place.
The right kind of worker, too, is someone who seems to love the collaborative process, and he really, really encouraged that, C.B. Fisk, right?
Absolutely, and yeah. He learned that, I think, from the way Oppenheimer worked. Oppenheimer very consciously worked with brainstorming, which wasn't exactly established at that point in time, where anybody could say anything, however silly or stupid, and that would generate the kind of conversation and discussion that would solve problems.
Can you explain the kind of organs that he made? They were called mechanical tracker action organs. What is that?
Back around the time that Fisk was getting started in business, there was quite a dispute between those advocates of electropneumatic organs and those who made these mechanical tracker action organs. The tracker action organs do not use electricity in the communication between the finger on the key and the speech of the pipe. That limits you because the pipes have to be close to the keyboards. But according to the people I met in the course of this adventure, that allows you to express things as you would riding a horse or driving a car that you couldn't otherwise, because the electro-pneumatic is more a function of just throwing a switch.
I see.
And so you have people like Virgil Fox, who's in the film, who are great advocates of electro-pneumatic.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the purists who say, well, this is the way Bach did it, so let's do it that way. As time has passed, that war has ended.
I see. Well, you interviewed a few different organists in this film, and here's one of them, Krista Rakich, explaining what it's like to play a mechanical tracker action organ.
You play a chord, and you can feel the wind going up into the pipes and making a vibration. And when you let go of that chord, you have an option to let go of it quickly and sharply, or to let go of it gently with kind of an M sound on the end of your vowel. Can be quite abrupt, or...
There's a wonderful description of the organ on your website, and I just wanted to read it. It says, "The king of instrument produces a glory of sound unmatched by any other. Its voice can fill the vaults of cathedrals, making the very stones tremble with its power." I love that.
I think it's a function of three things, really. It's the room, it's the organist, and I've heard some wonderful organists there, and the communication between the instrument and the organist,
yeah,
which is what these mechanical tracker action instruments are about.
Let me play another clip from the film. This is from the late Reverend Peter Gomes talking about his hopes for the organ that was being built for Harvard's Memorial Church. Let's listen to what he says.
Yes, I've always hoped that it would look as if it was organic, that is, part of the fabric, which means that, you know, it would be the same period as the screed and the pulpit. It had been around a long time. What I least would like is to know that there's the new organ. I don't want it to sort of scream at me.
It's a terrible loss that he died in the middle of this project and did not get to see its culmination, because it's so much about him, I think.
Yeah. The title of the documentary, To Hear the Music, where did that come from?
Well, when people asked Charles Fisk, well, why do you build these things? He would say, to hear the music better. He would complain to his wife at the time. He said, you know, I just don't like what I'm hearing. Got to build it better. And that basically was the genesis of the company.
And I understand that in terms of that grumble about hearing the music better, he was a pretty tough... I mean, he always heard the defects in the organs, right?
As well as his own.
Yeah.
He was very critical of himself. And as he said, I think you don't finish an organ, you abandon it. You let it go.
Well, that's Dennis Lanson, the director and producer of the documentary To Hear the Music. It will be screening on Tuesday at the Woods Hole Film Festival. A lot more information at radioboston.org about this. Dennis Lanson, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, Anthony.
And we'll end today and this week with a recording of Opus 139's debut performance at Harvard's Memorial Church on Easter Sunday, 2012.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again Monday. Have a great weekend, and join us again for more Radio Boston.